Last week we began a sermon series called Summer Stretch. And the idea behind this is that we all need to stretch. So we need to stretch our muscles, because if we don't stretch them, then they get tight, and then when we call on them for activity, they won't do what we want them to do. So we need to stretch our muscles. We also need to stretch our faith. So it's true, like our muscles, our faith needs stretching, and stretching regularly. The apostle describes the need for faith stretching in his letter in Philippians. He says, I want to know Christ. Now, when he says, I want to know Christ, he's talking about a different kind of knowing than just knowing about Christ. He's talking about knowing Christ in a relationship, knowing Jesus. He describes it as knowing the power of the resurrection, so the power that gives new life. Paul really wants to know this. Paul describes wanting to know the suffering of Jesus that comes from being a fully devoted follower. You know, that's pretty devoted, isn't it? To even want to know what it means to suffer as a follower of Jesus. And even wants to know Jesus so deeply that he is willing to sacrifice his very life because he's so looking forward to the resurrection from the dead that Jesus is bringing. So what is that kind of stretching like that Paul's talking about? To strive to know that new life, to reach with devotion that's willing to give it all away to know Jesus. Do you live with that kind of passion in your life? Do you live with that desire like Paul to really want to know Jesus? You know, that takes striving forward, doesn't it? That means reaching beyond. That means extending far beyond, because we're confident that as a Jesus follower, there is more. There's more in Jesus. So the apostle writes, he calls us to encourage and stretch for that more. In Philippians 3, he says, not that I've already obtained all this or I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on. Say that with me. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining towards what's ahead, I press on, say that with me, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So this summer, we're going to practice with Paul what it means to press on with Jesus. And here's what we learned last week, that faith stretching is a work in progress. So even the Apostle Paul, he says, I haven't reached my goal. He says, I'm a work in progress. He's not finished with me yet. He's still getting to know all of Jesus. You know, I'm still getting to know all of Jesus. And here's the thing, you are still getting to know all of Jesus. So faith stretching, it starts with this humility that says, you know, I haven't arrived yet. God is still working on me. I'm still getting to know all of Jesus. So I'm going to ask you to lean over. If you're new with us, this is kind of a normal thing. So lean over to the person beside you and tell them that I'm still getting to know Jesus. Just tell them that. I'm still getting to know Jesus. Now then, give them a high five and say, press on, okay? Press on, press on. There we go, press on. All right. Easy, easy, okay. So we're still getting to know Jesus a little better. Wherever you are on that journey today, we're all stretching a little further ahead in our faith. We are. We're all pressing on. And that means if you're a follower of Jesus, you have a stretching story to tell. You have a stretching story to tell. I'm going to ask you to be bold today. How's that sound? Oh, great. I'm going to invite you to identify yourself. So identify yourself, just hold on here, if your life has been changed by Jesus, if you have become a follower of Jesus, you know that if your life is so radically different now than it would have been if you had not become a follower of Jesus, then I'm going to ask you in a moment to identify yourself. But I want you to think about this. You know, some of you are probably on the edge of your seat. You're ready to jump up and say, hey, that's me. And that's probably not most of you. You're probably thinking, all right, okay, I'm not too excited about this. Maybe uncomfortable. So listen to what I'm suggesting, because I want you to be certain on this, okay? I don't want to make you do something that you didn't have to do, okay? So if, stand up, if not yet, if you identify as a fully devoted follower of Jesus, if Jesus completely changed the direction of your life, or if you're born again by faith, or if you have a new life in Him, or if you just know you've been saved by faith through His death and resurrection. Now, if that's you, if any one of those apply, and one more thing, okay? One more thing. If you have a new life in Jesus, and if it happened spontaneously, without anyone ever telling you about Jesus, okay? So in other words, you're a follower of Jesus, but before you came to faith in Him, you never knew anything about Jesus. Nobody ever told you about it. You never read about it. You never watched a YouTube video about it. Nothing, not at all. Your mama was closed-lipped, no word. Nothing about Jesus, but all of a sudden, you spontaneously, by a divine, miraculous intervention, came to faith in Jesus. Then if that's you, okay, then I want you to stand up right now. Darn! I was really hoping somebody did, because I really want to hear that story. I've heard it's happened before, but I don't know anyone who that's happened to. So, okay, all right, fine. That tells us something about followers making followers of Jesus, doesn't it? So in a moment, I'm going to invite you to stand up again if you believe in Jesus. But this time, only stand up if you believe in Jesus and someone in your life has shared that story of Jesus with you. So in a moment, again, I'm going to invite you to stand up if you're a believer, but this time only if someone has shared that story of faith in Jesus before you became a believer. They told you about the good news. Maybe it was a brother or sister or a parent or a teacher or a neighbor. Somebody told you. If that's you, your life has changed, you're a new person in Christ, and somebody has told you you're a believer, then I'm going to ask you to be bold and stand up right now. Okay, that's some of you, all right? Bunch of you. Kind of a lot of you, actually. So that's awesome. So that tells us something about making followers of Jesus, doesn't it? Now keep standing. If you're not standing yet, there's likely two reasons. One, you don't know Jesus like that yet. And I want to tell you, if that's you, then I am really glad you're here. I probably can't see you at the moment because everybody's standing up. But if that's you, I am really glad you're here. Because all of us at some point did not know Jesus like that. And someone shared Him with us and we came to know Him. I hope that you really get to know Him today, if that's you. So if the other reason you may not be standing, I don't see everybody here, but the other reason you may not be standing is because you haven't stretched out this morning and you're stiff and you need to stretch. So here's what I'm going to do the rest of you. I'm going to invite you to stand up if you can. If you can't, that's okay. You can stay. I'm going to have you lift your arms and stretch out. We're going to stretch, all right? We're going to physically stretch. Now, last time I did this, I untucked my shirt, so be careful. So we're going to reach up to the sky, high as we can, reach up, take a big breath, breathe in and stretch, reach, strive, stretch for the ceiling. And then we're going to tip a little bit to the side and stretch out to the side a little bit. Keep stretching high, back up to the center, stretch, reach, and then go back the other side, stretch as we go back up to the middle again, taking a deep breath, really big, breathe in, stretch. And as you let out your breath, let your arms come down, and you can be seated. All right. We're stretched. So this morning we've stretched our muscles. I've asked you to be bold and stretch in sharing your faith. And now we're going to find out what it takes to stretch and tell others about Jesus. You ready for that? The standing exercise revealed a couple things, one thing, that God uses followers to make followers of Jesus. I'm going to say that again. God uses followers to make followers of Jesus. So the Holy Spirit uses us. He uses our stories, uses our examples to tell others about Jesus. So in other words, followers of Jesus are like people who fish. Jesus called His first followers along the shores of Galilee, saying, "Come follow Me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for what?" Fish for people. That's right, to fish for people. A couple of weeks ago, Brandon Sikora invited my son Joe and I out on the lake fishing. It was a great time. It was a beautiful day. I enjoyed the time spent with them. But I have to tell you the truth, I'm not really passionate. I'm not that excited about fishing. Joe is very excited about fishing. I'm just not that excited about fishing. You know, I think it's actually kind of boring. Sorry. I do have more to this story. But there is something I am excited about, and that is catching. And I was the first one to catch a fish, and it was the biggest fish that I tell you about. A little competitive. I was excited, right? It was awesome. It was great. I caught a fish. And so I think that's kind of a lot like fishing for people. You know, at least for me, maybe for you too. There's some of the things, you know, and telling people about Jesus, I'm just not all that excited about, especially when they're not biting. You know, it's not sometimes all that fun. But man, catching people, wow. There's nothing like it. It's so much greater than catching fish for supper. Man, it changes lives for eternity. And I mean lives. When someone comes to faith in Jesus, their life doesn't just change, but all the people around them, their lives change. And my life changes. Our lives change as people come to faith in Jesus. It's so amazing. And that's why here at Bethlehem Covenant Church, we are serious about catching people. Jesus told a parable about that. It's a parable about the lost sheep. The master, he left 99 sheep who weren't lost and went out searching for the one that got lost. He had a party when he found it. He had this huge celebration, invited all the neighbors along because he had found that one lost sheep. And then he applied the parable or to fishing for people. He says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So why do we stretch as followers of Jesus to make followers of Jesus? Because it's not about the 99 safe sheep. So if we're already a follower of Jesus, it's not about us. It really isn't. It's about the one who doesn't yet know Jesus, who hasn't yet met Jesus. You know, when I hear Jacob Veldhaus share his story, I'm just kind of put into tears. It's hard to explain. He talks about his story of being caught by Jesus. You know, and I have two equal emotions. The first one is, you know, I just rejoice with heaven, you know, all of heaven over one sinner who repents. You know, that you're able to come from this dark place to this overwhelming sense of peace and a relationship with God. And just to see how God has used your life and just used you to bless so many people around and with you and Annie teaching and sharing and those things and your family, you know, as followers of Jesus. It's so amazing. I am so blessed to see that. Rejoicing. But the other part is just a deep sense of humility, because every time you tell your story, you talk about me, Pastor Tim, and I just have this deep sense of humility that, wow, God used me in the middle of that. And I didn't do anything, really. I just told Jacob about the Jesus I met. And God used that story to bring him into relationship. Amazing. Amazing. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you stood up today, you have the same story. Every one of us. Jesus met you through another follower, another fisher of people. And that's why we stretch. That's why we stretch ourselves to tell others. Because of that celebration of new life. There's nothing like it, right? But there's also the alternative, which is so bad. British evangelist Rice Tice, he tells this personal story. I was once in Australia visiting a friend. He took me to the beach, so I decided to go for a swim. I was taking off my shirt, and he said, what are you doing? He said, I said, I'm going for a swim. And he says, what about those signs? And he pointed to the signs that I hadn't really noticed. It said, danger, sharks. I said, don't be ridiculous, I'll be fine. He said, listen, mate, 200 Australians have died from shark attacks. You've got to decide whether these shark signs are there to save you or to ruin your fun. You're of age, you decide. I decided not to go for it, he said. Many of the words about hell are found in the Bible are attributed to Jesus. John 3:16 reminds us that God loves the world so much. He loves us so much that he sent his son that we might believe in him and not perish in hell, but have eternal life. Jesus loves us so much. He warns us about the outcome of not believing in him. That's why he died. The only way to get into hell is not to trust Jesus. So we are, as followers of Jesus, a warning sign We're a messenger of life and death. So I wanted to get your attention, not that I haven't, but if you're thinking about fishing right now, I want you to come back. Hello, come back. I want you to hear my heart for a moment. You know, I've been working through our vision for the church and thinking about what makes us tick. You know, what makes us, why are we here in this place at this time? You know, what's the really reason that we exist? Why do we do what we do? And I think it's as clear for me as it ever has been. It's all centered on this one purpose of making followers of Jesus. That's it. Making followers of Jesus. We're not trying to make people who agree with a doctrine or a perfect set of rules to be a perfect Christian. We're trying to get someone to meet Jesus, to know Jesus. That's our why. That's why we do what we do. We want people to simply know Jesus. Because it's a matter of eternal life and death, eternal joy and eternal suffering. We want to be part of heaven rejoicing. We want to be part of that every week, don't we? Every day, if we can, we want to be part of helping people meet Jesus and knowing Jesus. I really think everything else will work itself out. And that's what's behind everything we do. Or at least, we want it to be behind everything we do. And that's our why. To know Jesus. Our what is fishing for people. So we exist to make followers who make followers of Jesus. And how do we do it? How do we stretch to make followers? Well, the stretch is not planning a building campaign. The stretch is not raising enough funds for ministry. The stretch is not finding enough volunteers to serve. You know, you are all awesome in those ways. You know, you have this, you have given us this wonderful building for ministry. You are an extremely generous congregation. You volunteer and serve in so many amazing ways. That is not the stretch. The stretch, the challenge, is found in the Bible reading today. It gives us the clue. At the end of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is meeting with his followers for the final time before he goes up to heaven. And he reminds them, he says this is what is written. The Messiah, speaking of himself, will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And after telling them to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes, he's taken up to heaven. And the final line reads this. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. That seems wonderful, doesn't it? They're all in the temple. They're all praising God. Jesus is risen. He's coming back. What could be better? But something's missing. You know what's missing? They're not making followers. They're not yet making followers. And Luke picks up the story again in Acts. He picks up this missing piece. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. And the Holy Spirit is the power to witness. The Holy Spirit hasn't been sent yet. So their purpose is clear. Be witnesses to everywhere, to everyone. It's all over the Gospels. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and do what? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It's clear, right? It's our marching orders. But the power hasn't come yet. And then, 50 days after the resurrection, the day of Pentecost comes. And the church today around the world celebrates this day because it is still a continuous action taking place. The Holy Spirit is still poured out on his church. So you can read it in Acts 2. This is what happened. The disciples are together in the upper room. They're in the temple. It doesn't really say they're together worshiping God. The Holy Spirit rushes in. It comes on them, great wind, like tongues of fire. They begin to speak in other languages and tongues. The people hear their message in their own language. They're gathered from all around the known world in that moment for that festival, and they begin to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And then Peter stands up and he preaches this amazing sermon. You know how I know it's amazing? Because 3,000 people came to Christ that day. Pretty amazing. And people start hearing the sermon. They start asking, what do we do? And Peter tells them, repent and believe and receive Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and receive the Holy Spirit. And then followers of Jesus, being empowered to make followers of Jesus. So here's our stretch to make followers of Jesus. Here it is. We have to trust the Holy Spirit to use us. We have to trust the Holy Spirit to use us. Do you trust the Holy Spirit to use you? Is that a place in your life that you need some stretching, trusting God, the Holy Spirit, to use you to tell people about Jesus? I'm going to give us two ways to practice stretching our faith this summer. Two ways to trust the Holy Spirit to use us to share our faith with others. Are you ready? You ready? Right? Are you really ready? All right. So I'm going to, the first stretch is to practice listening. The first stretch is to practice listening. Say that with me. Listening. Just listening to someone who doesn't yet know Jesus. The book of Irresistible Evangelism, it includes a story of Jan, a staffer with Athletes in Action. And after attending a conference where the importance of listening to those who have not yet met Jesus, it was stressed, Jan and others were relaxing in a whirlpool, and two adolescent girls joined them in the tub. One of the teens, named Brittany, began passionately telling her friend about an upcoming Wiccan gathering she was planning to attend. So Jan says, normally, we would have tried to counter the girls' ideas, but we decided to listen instead. I said something like, wow, you really sound excited about this. And this was all the encouragement it needed for her to launch into a 5-minute explanation of why she was so attracted to these pagan rituals. And the bottom line was that she'd really had a traumatic time in high school, and the Wiccas accepted her. She said, I've gone through so much crap just trying to make it through high school that I'll probably be in therapy for the rest of my life. You ever heard that one? I tried to mirror back what she said with, it's hard for you to even imagine a future where you'd be free from all the pain you've gone through. And what came next floored me with a film of tears starting in her eyes, and with complete sincerity, she said, sometimes I wish I could be born all over again. I'd really like to start over from scratch. And after a long pause, my friend asked if she would really like to be born again. Yes, I really would, she said. What will we hear if we're listening? In the book of Acts, Philip was directed by the Holy Spirit to come alongside an Ethiopian riding in a carriage who was traveling home. As the man was reading from the prophet Isaiah, the Holy Spirit gave Philip an opportunity to tell him about Jesus. And right there on the spot, he believed and he got baptized in a pond beside the road or the ditch or whatever there was there, a little water. He was baptized on the spot. When we simply listen and let the Holy Spirit open up an opportunity, then we can practice the second stretch. And the second stretch is this, sharing our story. Sharing our story. So this is where most of us fear making followers of Jesus. You know, we have this fear about, oh, I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm not any good at talking about that. But let me tell you again, if you are born again, if you have met Jesus, then you have a story to tell, your story. And so the challenge is trust the Holy Spirit to tell your story. The Apostle Peter reminds us, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. So in other words, tell your story, but tell it with a lot of grace. Be nice. We're in Minnesota. We can do that. Be nice. Be kind. Be respectful. So speaking to unbelievers, speaking to people who haven't yet met Jesus is like sharing potato chips with them. I bet you're really wishing you were sitting on the aisle side this time, right? Want a chip? Love a chip. Help yourself. Chip? All right, there we come over, coming over. So you can have a chip. Have one. The author says, he says, I've learned one of the simple acts of grace in meeting people is to simply be interested in them, just ask them questions about them and care about their lives. So it's like turning to them with this bag of chips and saying, how you doing?
Great.
Want a chip?
Yes.
All right. That's awesome. So what are you looking forward to this summer? Want a chip?
Picnics.
All right. That sounds fun. Yeah. You want a chip?
Yep.
All right. I don't want to pass anybody here. Chip?
Thank you.
How is it coming to Bethlehem Church? Putting you on the spot there.
It's incredible.
Okay. Awesome. We're so glad you're here.
Thank
Want another chip?
You...
So what is it like, Shirley, to deal with the people around where you live? Do you enjoy the people in your neighborhood?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. You have new people, too. That's awesome.
I got a family. That's
really?
Awesome.
Oh, that's cool. That's great. So did you grow up around here? Want a chip?
Yep.
All right. That sounds good. Want a chip, Stanley? You served before with Meals on Wheels, didn't you?
Yeah.
How was that? Did you enjoy that?
Yeah.
All right. Joey helped too, didn't you, Joey?
I did.
You did. That's awesome. Want a chip? There you go.
Thank you.
There you go. That sounds good. So, you know, you can also use these conversations to turn it to a little more, you know, meaningful, a little deeper, being sensitive, but maybe getting at a little bit of what's inside the heart, such as, how do you keep a balance in your life with all the busy things that are going on? Do you want a chip? You know, I heard a Bible verse that might help you out. Would you like one?
Thank you.
Chip or a Bible verse? All right. So let me tell you a story about a son who disappointed his father. Want a chip? Have a chip.
If I have one, then you have to give it to my
dad. Yeah. Pass the bag of chips down the aisle. There you go. I'm going to be praying for you guys, all right? So you can just keep the chips going. Yeah, I did, didn't I? Listen. Conversations spoken with grace. They give people more than they deserve or expect. You know, this unexpected empathy, this listening, this undeserved hope, and even forgiveness. They're conversations where, there you go, the conversations where the Holy Spirit miraculously helps us touch a soul deeper than anyone else has gone before. Words that are salty, words that are tasty, words that give them a thirst for Jesus. So fishing for people is like sharing potato chips. Fishing for people is as easy as going to Moose. If you're a student here today going into 7th and 8th and 9th grade, you have an opportunity to fish at Moose. So I've been there with students who have actually given their lives to Jesus at Moose. It's the most ultimate urban, unbelievable camping experience, and you get to go this summer. And so here's what I would encourage. Invite all of your friends to Moose. Now, not just one of your friends or a couple of your friends. Invite all of your friends to Moose that are going into 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, because you have no idea how the Holy Spirit might use that event in their lives. And hey, you want to know some joy? Watch your friends come to faith in Jesus. Be a part of that. It's amazing. So this week, we get to stretch. We get to listen to someone who doesn't yet know Jesus, who isn't really walking with Jesus. Just listen. And then trust the Holy Spirit if he gives you an opportunity to boldly share your story. The outcome is in his hands. So Pastor Paul Knight, he was here. He's a pastor from Grand Forks. He came on Wednesday night and spoke with some of our leaders, give us some encouragement about visioning and what's ahead for Bethlehem Church. And during his visit, he shared a story about a man who wasn't a follower of Jesus, but he came to church every week because his wife was a follower of Jesus, and he wanted to be with her. So he would come, he'd sit in the pew, and when Pastor Paul was preaching, the man would just like shake his head, like whenever he didn't agree with him, he'd outright shake his head, or he'd wave his hands like, like this. No, make all kinds of things. Or if he really didn't agree with him, then he'd just stand up and go like this, and he'd walk out the door in front of everybody else. And so even though he did all that, Pastor Paul, and this man remained good friends over the years. And he said one Easter, when they were having their worship services in Arena in Grand Forks, on Easter morning, they were doing baptisms, and they had people who had come to faith in Jesus, previously. They were all lined up on the stage. They were all, dressed to be immersed in baptism and to tell their story. So they're waiting in line, telling their story, getting baptized. And in the middle of this, the man was up in the balcony. He made his way down. He came down the center aisle, and he pushed his way into the front of the line, and he told Pastor Paul, "I believe, baptize me." He says, "I believe, baptize me right now, right in the middle of all that, get busted in front of everybody else, baptize me." You know what Pastor Paul did? He baptized him. Now imagine, can you imagine the joy that erupted in that arena that morning over one sinner who repents and turns to Jesus? Amazing. Amazing work that God is doing. So I said earlier, I'm glad that you're here today. And I really did not see who stood up and who didn't stand up. But if you're here today, you didn't stand up, you didn't yet know Jesus, it is my hope, our hope, that you do meet him, that you do know him. Because Jesus came for all of us. And it's my hope that we've been bold enough and will continue to be bold enough to invite you and others who don't believe to come and hear the good news of Jesus, to share some potato chips, have some conversation, and hear the good news. My goal is not to make you think like me, but to meet Jesus. I don't change lives. We don't give new lives. Jesus does. All I can do, all we can do, is point you to Jesus, invite you to trust Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. He was born in a manger because there was no room for him. He grew up sinless, lived a perfect life. And he was accused falsely and sentenced to death on a cross. He died and then was buried in a tomb. He died for you and me to take the punishment of our sins. And he rose from the dead after 3 days, proving that he had taken away our sins and that he had defeated death and sin. The victory that he won is the victory we share by faith in him. And Scripture tells us that all who believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life. That God did not come into the world to condemn us, but to save the world through him. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that includes you. It includes me. And so today, if that's you, if you're here, and you don't yet know Jesus, if you don't yet know him like Paul's talking about, if you are ready to surrender your life, to give your life to him, to know that new life, that joy, that celebration, then I'm going to give you opportunity to do that right now. And so I'm going to ask us all to bow our heads. And maybe someone here today has been not really following Jesus, and you're ready to make a change and to walk with him. Then I'm going to invite you to make that commitment today. So I'm going to invite us, bow our heads, if you would, bow our heads. This is to give some respect to those who may feel kind of uncomfortable today, but let me tell you, this is a life-altering moment, life-changing. There's a difference between eternal life and death. If you're ready to know Jesus, to meet him right here, right now, he's here, then just simply invite him in. Pray with me something like these words, "Jesus, I am a sinner. Forgive me. I believe you died on the cross for me and that you rose from the dead. Thank you for dying for me. Jesus, come into my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit that I may know you, truly know you. Please, in Jesus' name, amen." Now continue to put your heads back down. I say, come up, put your heads back down, if you would. We stretched. We're stretching. For someone here today, if you have put your faith in Jesus, you have made a leap from life to death. You have a new life today. If that's you, I'm going to invite you to take a bold step so that we may know and celebrate with you, that I may know and walk with you in that. I invite you to raise your hand today. If that was you for the first time, raise your hand today. Okay? And now, friends, followers of Jesus, we have a mission. What if every Sunday a person here would raise their hands? If every Sunday is a celebration of new life, how will that happen? If we listen and share our story and invite. Lord Jesus, help us to be followers who make followers of you. In your name, amen.